I'm going to show you a picture to start with this morning, those here in the congregation, of course, will be able to see me and the picture. And if you're online, welcome to you. I'm sorry, you'll only see the picture, or maybe that's a good thing, because you won't have to see me so long. But let's have a look at the picture first of all. And most of you will know that it's what we might loosely call a Jewish candlestick, a menorah. A menorah is a Hebrew word. It just simply means lamp. It's a Hebrew word for lamp. And this particular lamp is a candlestick. Nothing special about that. But this particular one that you can see is special. And it's special because this particular one is actually positioned right outside the Jewish parliament in Jerusalem. It's there, it's about 20, 30, 40 yards, I can't remember how far it is, straight outside the front door. And I think you'll be able to see, I tried to pick a picture that had sowed some relief on it. You can see along the branches, there are various sculptures, as it were. And those sculptures tell the whole history of the Jewish nation from Adam and Eve, right the way through the patriarchs, to Moses crossing the Red Sea, to Joshua, to King David, and so on. And those, and it shows on all of those the whole history of the Jewish nation. But if you look carefully on the horizontal bits, you'll see some Hebrew writing. Now, I don't read Hebrew. So when I was there, I was very interested in it, and I said to the guide, please tell me what the Hebrew words are. And he said, the words say, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I was really moved by that. Do you know that this menorah was a gift from the British Parliament to the Hebrew Jewish Israeli Parliament on the 14th of March 1956, on the 8th anniversary of the birth of that nation? What could have been written on this? We could have written, congratulations on your 8th anniversary. We could have written, what a great nation you've become. There are lots of things we could have written, and yet the message that this country sent to the Israelis was not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I want you to imagine that you are one of the Israeli MPs going in and out of the Knesset. And every time you go in and out, you pass that menorah. I wonder if familiarity has meant that they never notice it anymore. I wonder if there are times like there have been recently with another war that they looked at that and thought, wow, maybe, Lord, that's what you're saying to us. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm reminded that Psalm 139 says that the Lord watches over our going out and our coming in every day and forevermore. As you come out and go in, I wonder what words are in front of you. I wonder if the words are the same as these words. I wonder if you've had a word from God this morning or this week which says, hey, those are the words that I see as I come in and I go out. That's the word of God to me. So let's look at this a bit more. Thank you. We can take that off now. and those online can see me again. The menorah and this, the candlestick, and these words, of course, came from Zechariah's prophecy. And so we're just going to have a look at that for a few minutes this morning. If you've got a Bible and you want to look at it, Zechariah is the last but one book in the Old Testament. So if you go to Matthew and the Gospels, you only have to flick back just a few pages, which is what I'm going to do now. And this prophecy and this picture comes from Zechariah in chapter 4. And I'm just going to read the first few verses for you. This is Zechariah talking, of course. Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me, as a man is wakened from his sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" And Zechariah looked, and he said, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it, with seven channels to the lights. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left." And I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And he answered, "Don't you know what they are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. So he said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." Now, I know some of you like a little bit of context, so I'm going to give you a very short context for this. The two final tribes of the children of Israel, Judah and Benjamin, were taken into captivity by the Babylonians and were there for 70 years in Babylon. And then a few of them came back and started to rebuild Jerusalem. You might remember that Nehemiah was responsible for rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and the walls got built. And then he and Ezra, the priests, they said, "Well, what we need to do next is we need to rebuild the temple." The temple had been razed to the ground and was just a heap of rubble. And they started on the work, but the heap was so great and the people were so few that the work didn't get done. And after a very short time, they gave it up. And that carried on for 20 years. Nothing happened for 20 years. And by that time, a new priest and a new leader had arisen. The priest's name was Joshua, and the leader's name was Zerubbabel. And the Bible tells us that Zerubbabel had already, or right then, had already placed the cornerstone of the temple in place. So the foundations had been built and nothing else. And so we have here, in this situation, God's three great offices. We had the priest, who was Joshua. We had the leader, or the king, who was Zerubbabel. And here we have Zechariah, who was the prophet. And Zechariah actually was a bit strange as a prophet, because he actually came from a priestly family, and his father was a priest. But here he was prophesying. And we know that the three great offices, prophet, priest, and king, were eventually combined in one man, Jesus Christ. He became prophet, priest, and king. And now the New Testament tells us that we are prophets, priests, and kings unto our God. But you knew all that, didn't you? So Zechariah looks at the candlestick and he sees this picture. He has this vision. And he finds it a little strange. I just said he came from a priestly family, so he almost certainly, even though he'd been in Babylon in exile, he almost certainly knew what the candlestick was and what it represented. The candlestick, after all, was given, the details of the candlestick were given to Moses by God himself on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and all the others. He was very familiar, I'm sure, with what the candlestick... The candlestick represents God's gathered people who are there to be a candlestick, to be a light to the world, to light in the darkness. That was what was meant for the Jewish people. And we know that right now, the Israel nation is was then eventually went for a while. But in the New Testament, God's gathered people is the church. It's us. And we have taken that place in that sense. And we know from the last verse of Revelations in chapter 1 that when Jesus is explaining what John has seen, he says, and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So the candlestick represents, if you like, here in this place, in Redditch, right now, us. The church, Oasis, has a candlestick, which is a light that shines in the darkness of Redditch. And we know that we have to be careful because it's important to keep the candle burning. We know that from Revelation that Jesus said, hey, but to some of the churches, but you need to be careful that your candlestick isn't removed. And for the nation of Israel, their candlestick was removed eventually in AD 70 and was not returned until 1948. 1,878 years, their light was extinguished. But this candlestick is different. This candlestick wasn't just a candlestick. And that's what's probably confused Zechariah. Because this candlestick had a bowl with it. It had some pipes leading from the bowl to the lamps. It had two olive trees, one on the right and one on the left. And we find from later on, bits that I haven't read yet, there were two branches coming out of the olive trees that were feeding the bowl. And he looks and he says, what is this about? What is this? This is a quite an amazing situation. We have a sort of an automated system. There doesn't appear to be anybody there. He sees in the picture the olive trees produce the oil. The oil flows down the branches and fills the bowl. The bowl feeds the pipes. The pipes feed the candles, the lamps, and off it goes. And he stands and he looks at this and says, wow. The oil is flowing. The lamps are lit. And it's all happening on its own. And he asks what it was about. And he gets one of those, what I call a biblical answer, where he wasn't quite sure what the answer and the connection with the question and the answer was. Because he looks at the picture and says, what actually is this vision about? And the angel says, this picture, this vision is a word for Zerubbabel. And the word you to tell him is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Right, okay. I get the word. I see the vision, but I'm still not quite sure how the two are connected. Nevertheless, we'll go to Zerubbabel and we'll give him the word. Zerubbabel, you've got a great big task in front of you, a rebuilding job. You've got few people to do it. And I've got a word of encouragement for you from God. And the word is that you don't have to rely on your own strength. You don't have to rely on the strength of the people. You don't have to rely only on your own effort. Because this temple is going to get rebuilt by the power of the Spirit of God. Some versions say, thus says Almighty God. Some versions say, thus says the Lord of hosts. Others says, thus says the Lord of armies. But the actual what it means is that this word is spoken by the one who leads the armies of God. There was masses and masses of opposition to the rebuilding of the walls. Do you remember that? And God is saying, don't worry, Zerubbabel. because the armies of God will fight for you. The Spirit will be poured out and you will, the text that we haven't read says, and you will put the capstone on the last stone into the temple. You laid the foundation, you laid the cornerstone, and you will be the one that puts in the capstone. And you will shout, glory! You will shout praise to God, because you will know that only He could have done it. Now, we're in very similar circumstances today. Josh has just mentioned those a little bit in what he said earlier on. We're in a rebuilding situation. The nation, we're having to rebuild. The nation is going to have to rebuild after COVID. The nation is going to have to rebuild the economy. The nation is going to have to rebuild after Brexit. Day by day we're here, or hopefully we're here, but we've made another agreement with somebody else, a trade deal. So we can get some goods in and our goods can go out. We are rebuilding. Pastor Josh has mentioned the rebuilding in the church here. And we're very typical of every other church in the country. We're having to rebuild. We're going to have to rebuild after COVID. We're going to have to rebuild of everybody coming back. Diane shared how that's not necessarily an easy thing to do. We're going to have to rebuild the ministries, which were particularly mentioned. The things that need to be done and we want to do as a church. We're going to have to rebuild how we do things. And we're having to rebuild personally. We're having to rebuild relationships that have struggled over the last 18 months. We're having to rebuild after illness, some people. We're having to rebuild after some people with mental stress because of all that's happened. We're having to rebuild jobs. We're having to rebuild finances. We're having to rebuild, in some cases, in some sad cases, bereavement. And maybe you here in the church and the people that are listening online, maybe you can identify with a number of those. It's a time of rebuilding. Pastor Josh says, it's like a new beginning. And the word of the Lord to us in this rebuilding is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Does that mean you don't have anything to do? Well, sadly not. You know, even though the scripture says that if the Lord doesn't build the house, the laborers build in vain. But do you know, the laborers, even if the Lord does build the house, they still have to put the bricks on top of one another. Will it require our enthusiasm? Yes. Will it require our commitment? Yes. Will it require our finances? Yes. We will have to work hard, but we don't work in our own effort. We don't work in our own strength. We don't work just saying, oh, do you know, I've got some gifts and I'm going to put them in. And we're going to work it up and oh. We don't say, hey, we're going to rebuild because we've got a great pastor. Thank you, Pastor Robin. No, we're going to rebuild with all those things, but we're going to rebuild because God is with us. and God is working through us, and His Spirit is flowing. And at the end, I believe we shall be in the same position as Zerubbabel was. I believe that at the end we shall be able to say, glory to God. And I believe other people will actually look at what's happened and will say, how did you do that? Do you know, I'm amazed that they're where they are with the resources that they've had. And we will be able to say, it is the power of God. We will be able to say, it is the Spirit of the living God working through us that has done this. We will be able to shout glory to God as they did. Now there was two last questions. And this is what it says. This is towards the end of chapter 4. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand? Again I asked him, what are these two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil? And again the angel says, don't you know? And again he said, no, or I wouldn't have asked you. And he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Right. These are the two. Now, there is a slight difficulty here, and I don't know the answer to it. Because he asked two questions and got one answer, and I'm not sure which question was answered. But I think all I can do is tell you what the best revelation I've got. I think the answer was to the last question. Because it said, what are the two olive trees and what are the two branches that pour out the oil? And I believe, and no doubt somebody, if you've got any better revelation than me, please come and tell me. I believe that the olive trees actually represent the Lord himself. And that the branches, who were the anointed ones, were the two anointed ones, which were Joshua and Zerubbabel, who were anointed for that particular job. It's a great thing. It says the ones who are anointed. The actual Hebrew says sons of oil. Wow. A son of oil or a daughter of oil. Now, this is what I want you to understand this morning. Because at the end of it, this is what it really comes down to. The oil didn't come in a tanker. The oil didn't fall from heaven like rain. The oil only reached the lamps through Joshua and Zerubbabel. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, all those who are looking online, if we are to release the Spirit and the Spirit is released in order for us to rebuild, it isn't going to come from out there. If you pray, and we sang about it, for revival, if we pray and say, Lord, come and visit us again, Lord, pour out your Spirit, you need to be the answer to your own prayer. You cannot say, here am I, send my brother. No, no, no. It's like Isaiah, you say, Lord, here am I, send me. And what we say is, Lord, I will be a branch. I will connect here on this side to Jesus. I will let the oil flow through me and out this way, and I will be a conduit for the Spirit of God. I will allow the fullness of the Spirit to flow through me, so that the lamp of my testimony and the candlestick of this church burns bright. To this dark place that we live in, to this needy world around us, a world that is desperate for Jesus without knowing it, for the one who can actually do what's needed, and yet still people carry on under their own, in many times, paltry efforts. We've been looking just recently about the fruits of the Spirit, about allowing the Spirit to flow in us for ourselves, in order that we can produce the character of God in our lives. But this is now talking about the flow of the Spirit, not for us, but out and through us, that we might make a difference in this place. And so I'm asking you this morning, will you commit yourself to being a channel of the Spirit of God in order to rebuild what needs to be rebuilt at this time? Will you commit yourself to saying, yes, Lord, I will hold your hand here. Not just for my benefit, not just so I feel secure, not just so it feels good, but no, in order that the channel will flow and the Spirit may flow and keep the lamp burning. And maybe then, by God's grace, not by our power and effort and might, but by His Spirit, we will see the things rebuilt in our lives, in the life of this church, and maybe even that we would make a difference in our nation. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you your word is quick and powerful. I thank you, Lord, that it goes deep within us. And so I ask, Father, that your word would plant a seed, Lord. It would grow within us, that we'd be reminded of your word. That in the difficult, more difficult days, Monday to Saturday, Lord, when we're perhaps on our own, we might be reminded, Lord, let me see these words in front of me, Lord, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. Amen.